Imagine like an invisible cyber army rewriting bank security protocols while you sleep.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like science fiction.
Right. And it's all powered by this tiny silicon chip that might just trigger the next geopolitical Cold War.
Which is wild to think about.
It really is. I mean, we constantly interact with our digital world as if it is this weightless, frictionless space.
Exactly. Like we just assume it's all happening in some pristine abstract cloud.
Yeah, you click a button, a document updates, you type a prompt, an image appears. But when you actually look closely at the moving parts, you realize there is an absolute war going on underneath those clean user
A
interfaces.
total war over, who controls the code, who verifies what is real.
And ultimately, who controls the physical chips making it all possible? So, welcome to another deep dive. Today, our mission is to help you cut through the incredibly dense technical jargon of the latest Techin Morning Intelligence Briefing.
And this is from Saturday, August 15, 2026, for context.
Right. We are exploring this fascinating convergence of events from just the past 24 hours. I mean, AI is now actively taking over our office work. It's autonomously auditing our enterprise security systems, and it's forcing us to fundamentally question the authenticity of the media we consume.
All while a massive geopolitical battle rages over the physical hardware powering the entire revolution. The velocity of change we are seeing right now is exposing the incredible fragility of that underlying digital ecosystem.
We're completely insulated from the heavy machinery running underneath, at least until something breaks. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it. Because the structural architecture of the next decade of technology is really taking shape in these reports.
Yeah, and the sheer scale of the shift is staggering when you look at how these distinct technological leaps are beginning to overlap. So let's start with the most immediate shift, the one changing how you interact with your computer today.
You're talking about the OpenAI update.
Exactly. OpenAI just rolled out this deep bidirectional integration between ChatGPT and Google Drive for their Plus, Team, and Enterprise users.
Which is a huge deal.
It is, because we are no longer talking about simply uploading a static PDF for the AI to read. You can now edit Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides in real time, like directly inside the chat window.
Yeah, Adam Fry, their product manager, confirmed these changes actually hit your master file via authenticated API hooks.
Right. And for anyone wondering what that actually means, an API hook is essentially a dedicated, secure bridge between OpenAI servers and Google servers.
Exactly. So instead of the AI generating like a brand new copy of a spreadsheet that you have to download and re-upload, it's sending tiny encrypted packets of instructions over this bridge.
Just modifying specific cells in your live document, and it's preserving your complete revision history and collaborative comments as if a human collaborator were typing.
It's seamless.
Think of it this way. It's like having an assistant who doesn't just draft an email for you to copy and paste, but actually logs into your computer, recalculates the quarterly spreadsheet, fixes the broken formulas, formats the presentation, and hits save.
That is a great analogy.
And they are doing this under strict zero retention privacy policies, meaning private workspace data remains siloed and isn't scraped for public model training. But I mean, I have to push back on this universal interface concept a bit.
How
Are
so?
we putting too many eggs in one basket? Like, if we make a conversational interface the single operating system for our entire professional lives, doesn't that create a vulnerability?
You mean relying entirely on prompting rather than knowing how to use the software?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't actually know how to construct a financial model in a spreadsheet, doesn't that create a massive knowledge gap?
What's fascinating here is the sheer return on investment gained by eliminating context switching. That's the counterargument.
Context switching.
Right. Human cognition is famously terrible at jumping between different applications. Every single time you switch your visual focus from a chat window to a spreadsheet editor, you lose cognitive momentum.
Oh, I definitely feel that. It takes the brain time to reorient.
Exactly. So this OpenAI integration isn't merely a feature update. It is a structural redesign of how knowledge workers interact with software as a service. It drastically reduces daily operational friction.
So the traditional app icons are kind of dissolving, and the conversational prompt is becoming the universal interface.
That's exactly what we're seeing.
But that seamless creation process creates an immediate secondary challenge, which leads us directly into the authenticity crisis.
Because if the friction of generating and editing digital content is removed by AI, the friction of verifying it skyrockets.
Yes, Google just made a highly controversial move regarding this. They are now allowing digital creators to disable the visible sparkle watermarks on AI media.
This is for media generated by their Gemini model and their video generator, Flow.
Right. That little glowing icon in the bottom right corner of an AI image can now be toggled off entirely.
And creative professionals have been lobbying for this change for months. They argued that mandatory visible marks were ruining the aesthetic integrity of their commercial work.
Which I get, but I have to ask on behalf of anyone scrolling their feed right now. If I cannot physically see the watermark while casually browsing, isn't that a massive step backward for transparency?
It's a fair question.
I mean, how is the average person supposed to know if a news video or a political photograph is real or synthetically generated?
It definitely sounds counterintuitive on the surface,
mm-hmm.
but removing the visible mark actually represents a maturation of digital security.
Really? How?
Josh Woodward, the vice president of Google Labs, detailed the underlying philosophy. They are balancing aesthetic purity for professionals with robust technical provenance.
Okay, so the visible marks are gone, but the media remains indelibly stamped with invisible synthid algorithmic watermarks.
Exactly.
Let me try to break down how synthid works, because invisible algorithmic watermark sounds a bit like tech magic.
It does sound a bit sci-fi.
Right. So rather than treating an image as a simple grid of colored squares like pixels, synthid looks at the image through frequency domain manipulation.
Frequency domain, yeah.
Think of a photograph like a complex musical chord made up of multiple overlapping sound waves. SynthID embeds a mathematical signature directly into those underlying frequencies.
That analogy hits the mark perfectly.
It alters the fundamental structure of the image data in a way that the human eye absolutely cannot detect, but a computer scanner can instantly recognize.
Because the watermark is baked into the frequencies rather than the surface pixels, it survives aggressive manipulation.
So if you crop the image, compress it for social media, or apply a heavy color filter, that underlying frequency signature remains intact.
Exactly. You can't just Photoshop it out.
Wow. And to supplement that invisible frequency math, they are also embedding cryptographically signed C2PA provenance metadata in the file header.
Yes. For those unfamiliar, C2PA stands for the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity.
It is an open technical standard that functions sort of like an unalterable digital shipping manifest attached to the file.
Right. It records the cryptographic identity of the tool that created the image and logs every subsequent edit.
So you have a digital fingerprint baked into the DNA of the file rather than a cheap name tag pinned to its shirt.
Which is vastly superior to legacy visible watermarks. Those visible icons were essentially consumer warning badges with zero technical security.
Because anyone could use a basic cropping tool or an AI inpainting brush to remove a logo in 3 seconds.
Exactly. Visible watermarks actually provide a false sense of security. Cryptographic metadata and frequency manipulation provide empirical verification.
Even if it requires a browser extension or a platform-level check to reveal it.
Right. It is worth noting, however, that in jurisdictions like the European Union, visible marks are still mandated by statutory law.
Ah, so they remain enabled automatically for users in those regions.
Exactly, due to the regulatory environment there.
Well, this invisible verification process is fascinating, but it kind of pales in comparison to what AI is currently doing behind the scenes in enterprise software.
Oh, absolutely.
AI is no longer just generating images or editing spreadsheets. It is autonomously auditing the software infrastructure that runs the modern economy.
Which brings us to ZAI. The pioneering AI firm, formerly known as Zipu AI.
Right. They just launched their GLM 5.3 model, and it is achieving generational breakthroughs in autonomous cybersecurity.
The benchmarks for this model are staggering. It scored an industry-leading 84.5% on CyberGem.
Which fundamentally outperforms proprietary frontier models in flaw detection. We should probably clarify what we mean when we say it's a 743 billion parameter model.
Yeah, that's a massive number.
In machine learning, parameters are essentially the internal variables, like the artificial synapses that the model uses to make decisions and recognize patterns.
Right, so the more parameters a model has, the more nuanced its understanding of complex logic becomes.
Exactly. So a 743 billion parameter model has an almost incomprehensible ability to analyze dense interwoven computer code and predict how different variables will interact under stress.
And we saw that capability proven in the wild during internal testing. GLN 5.3 autonomously discovered a potentially serious vulnerability in Cursor.
Oh, wow. Cursor is that extremely popular AI-powered coding editor recently acquired by SpaceX, right?
Yes. The model found a zero-day flaw in an application used by millions of developers worldwide, entirely on its own.
And they reported it under private disclosure protocols, thankfully.
Additionally, Z.AI managed to reduce output token consumption by 30% for complex code refactoring, making the model incredibly efficient.
It's sort of like hiring a master architect who not only drafts the blueprints for an impenetrable bank vault, but then autonomously spends thousands of hours picking the locks and testing the concrete to prove the vault is genuinely secure.
We are witnessing a profound paradigm shift in artificial intelligence here. We are moving away from passive code generators,
where a human asks for a Python script and the machine outputs text.
Exactly. We're moving toward active, continuous integration security validators. You integrate this AI model directly into your enterprise backend, and it tirelessly hammers away at your code base,
hunting for the exact obscure vulnerabilities that a sophisticated human hacker would exploit.
Right. And here is the truly paradigm-shifting detail from the briefing. ZAI is releasing the open weights for this GLM 5.3 model in just 2 weeks.
Wait, really? For you listening, open weights means the underlying pre-trained neural network, the actual brain of the AI, will be available for download.
Developers everywhere will have localized, unrestricted access to a state-of-the-art autonomous vulnerability hunter,
which fundamentally alters the balance of power in cybersecurity, because we desperately need these AI auditors right now.
We absolutely do. Human-built enterprise architectures are currently collapsing under the weight of third-party integrations.
The Tech in Briefing highlights two massive cybersecurity crises that hit today alone, showcasing the extreme fragility of the digital supply chain. First, a 30 million euro bank fraud ring targeting Commerzbank was dismantled.
This was by joint German and Brazilian police in Operation Clonin.
Right. But the attackers did not hack Commerzbank's highly defended core mainframes.
No, the core banking infrastructure remained completely uncompromised. The depositors who were impacted were swiftly reimbursed.
The breach happened through a side door. And exactly how that side door was opened is what makes this so terrifying for IT leaders.
The attackers exploited a software flaw introduced during a vendor update at a third-party payment processor.
Banks established these secure, whitelisted data tunnels to interact with external payment vendors.
Right. So if that external vendor pushes a compromised software update, that malicious code travels freely through the trusted tunnel,
entirely bypassing the bank's massive multi-million dollar perimeter firewalls.
The perimeter defense model failed completely because the threat was already inside the gate, cloaked in the credentials of a trusted partner.
Wow. And the second crisis is even more alarming. An unauthenticated remote code execution flaw in SAP Commerce Cloud is currently being actively weaponized in the wild.
This vulnerability carries a CVSS 10.0 rating.
Let's break that down. CVSS is the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, the industry standard for assessing the severity of computer system security vulnerabilities. The scale goes from 0 to 10.
So a 10.0 is the absolute highest threat level possible.
It represents a total system compromise that requires minimal technical skill to exploit.
The mechanics of an unauthenticated remote code execution flaw are the nightmare scenario for any chief information security officer.
Yeah, unauthenticated means the attacker does not need a username, a password, or any prior access privileges.
Remote means they can launch the attack from anywhere in the world over the public internet.
And code execution means they can send a specific string of malicious data to the exposed SAP server. The server fails to properly sanitize or reject that input and instead executes it as a system-level command.
The attacker instantly gains full back-end control of the entire e-commerce infrastructure.
Here's where it gets really interesting. You can have the best perimeter defense in the world. You can spend your entire IT budget on advanced threat detection.
Right.
But if your third-party vendor pushes a bad update, or if a core platform like SAP has a zero-day flaw in its Data Hub adapter extension, you are entirely exposed.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this systemic vulnerability perfectly underscores the directive issued by the Tech and Editorial Board in this morning's briefing,
which is that perimeter defenses are mathematically obsolete.
Thinking of network security as a castle wall simply does not work in a hyperconnected cloud environment.
This reality mandates continuous supply chain auditing and strict zero-trust network architectures.
And zero trust means assuming every application, even internal ones, is compromised.
A system is truly only as resilient as its weakest third-party integration.
Which brings us full circle to the physical reality of our digital world. All of the software, all of the zero trust cloud architectures, the massive AI models, the SAP mainframes.
Absolutely, none of it exists in a vacuum. It all requires physical hardware. We are moving from weightless software to heavy, incredibly expensive silicon.
And that hardware is currently at the center of a geopolitical firestorm.
Yes, U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick just publicly warned Apple CEO Tim Cook against procuring memory chips from Chinese manufacturers.
During a high-profile visit to a new semiconductor manufacturing facility in Texas, Lutnick was explicitly clear that relying on Chinese memory components is considered highly undesirable for major American corporations.
We have to look at the mechanics of why this tension exists. To understand the stakes, you need to understand the memory chips in question.
We are talking about DRAM, which stands for Dynamic Random Access Memory, and NAND flash memory.
Think of DRAM as a computer's workbench. It is volatile memory used for active high-speed calculations, which is critical for running massive AI models.
And think of NAND flash, specifically 3D flash memory, as the filing cabinet. It is non-volatile storage that retains data when the power is off.
Both are essential for modern electronics. Apple is a global business trying to mitigate severe global shortages in both DRAM and NAND flash, while also dealing with rapidly rising procurement costs.
Right. Consequently, they started exploring options with Chinese memory titans, specifically CXMT and YMTC.
The market dynamics kind of drive that exploration.
CXMT is a rapidly scaling DRAM manufacturer, and YMTC is a domestic leader in advanced 3D flash memory in China. They can produce high volumes of memory at competitive price points.
However, the United States government's perspective is strictly grounded in national security and geopolitical strategy. Both CXMT and YMTC are currently on the U.S. Department of Commerce entity list.
Furthermore, the Pentagon has designated these companies as military-linked entities.
Therefore, Lutnick is aggressively urging Apple to restrict its procurement to U.S. or allied suppliers. Companies like Micron, based in the U.S., or Samsung and SK Hynix, based in South Korea.
Add to that the intense lobbying from domestic producers. Companies like Micron are major beneficiaries of the U.S. TPS Act.
Oh, right.
And they're actively pushing for lucrative procurement contracts to remain insulated within allied borders to justify those federal subsidies.
So as a consumer who is simply waiting for the next generation of electronics, a new smartphone, an AI-powered laptop, how does this tension actually impact you?
It's a great question.
If global procurement remains artificially restricted to just a handful of South Korean and American fabrication plants, we are looking at the very real possibility of massive consumer cost inflation.
Because the demand for high bandwidth memory, especially for AI accelerators, is vastly outstripping global supply.
Exactly. If a company like Apple cannot diversify its supply chain with lower cost Chinese components due to stringent federal mandates and geopolitical friction, the cost of manufacturing those devices stays incredibly high.
And those costs are almost always passed directly down to the consumer.
Hardware supply chains have evolved past simply finding the best technology for the most efficient price. They are now pure geopolitical instruments. Every memory chip is an active piece of statecraft.
We have witnessed an incredible convergence across these topics today.
We truly have. Let's synthesize the journey we've taken through this intelligence briefing. We started with the seamless convenience of AI acting as a universal operating system, physically taking control of our Google Drive workspaces.
We then examined the philosophical and technical hurdles of proving the authenticity of that AI-generated media.
Right, moving from easily manipulated visible watermarks to the invisible mathematical permanence of synthenized and cryptographic C2PA metadata.
We observed AI evolving from a passive assistant into an autonomous auditor, with ZAI's GLM 5.3 hunting down zero-day vulnerabilities in commercial code with unprecedented efficiency.
And we learned exactly why continuous AI-driven auditing is mandatory today, exploring the extreme fragility of human-coded enterprise systems.
We saw how easily a third-party vendor update bypassed Commerce Bank's massive firewalls.
And how an unauthenticated remote code execution flaw in SAP allows attackers to seize total control of a server with a single malicious command.
Concluding with the stark reality that none of this digital architecture functions without physical silicon, which is currently caught in a massive geopolitical tug of war.
Between the United States government's national security imperatives and the global tech industry's massive supply chain demands. It is a digital world that is simultaneously vastly more capable and exponentially more vulnerable than it was even a year ago.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final lingering thought that builds on the implications of today's briefing.
What's that?
We noted earlier that Z.AI is releasing the open weights for their GLM 5.3 cybersecurity model in exactly 2 weeks. This is an autonomous model that is exceptionally brilliant at finding zero-day vulnerabilities in massive code bases.
Right. It successfully compromised the cursor editor entirely on its own during testing.
So consider the implications when an autonomous tool of that caliber becomes freely downloadable by anyone with an internet connection.
Oh, wow.
What happens when it falls into the hands of the exact same sophisticated threat actors who are currently exploiting systems like SAP Commerce Cloud? When the ultimate autonomous lockpick goes open source, does the defense outpace the offense?
That's why.
Or are we inevitably arming the very people trying to break the systems we are fighting to secure?
That is a deeply complex question to consider as we watch these technologies roll out. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us. Keep questioning the mechanics of the digital world around you. Look past those clean user interfaces, and we will catch you next time.